Middle East and Africa.
Bad ideas in the Middle East. Once more with feeling. From a proxy force in South Lebanon to regime change, what's old is new again.
In the late 1990s, Israel started work on a memorial to honour the South Lebanon Army, or SLA, its proxy force, during its occupation of Lebanon. It was inaugurated in May 2000, 2 days before Israeli troops withdrew from the country. The SLA collapsed almost immediately. Its fighters fled to Israel or surrendered. The monument was blown up by Hezbollah. History has a way of repeating in the Middle East. A quarter century later, Israeli troops are once again fighting in the same part of Lebanon. Hezbollah has spent the past year firing rockets at northern Israel, and it has built up a formidable network of tunnels and bunkers along the border. The war is meant to push it back, as the Lebanese army and UN peacekeepers have been unable to do for decades. Yet as they discuss how to keep the militia out of South Lebanon, policymakers in Israel and the West have revived some old and often failed ideas about how outsiders might try to change the region. Yair Lapid, the Israeli opposition leader, thinks the way to secure the border between Israel and Lebanon is by reviving the SLA. In a by-invitation essay written for The Economist, Mr. Lapid called on America, France, and the United Arab Emirates to train and fund a new force that would serve as a buffer between Israel and Hezbollah. With foreign funding, Mr. Lapid suggested, the new SLA could pay fighters $500 a month, five times more than the regular Lebanese army can pay. That, plus a patriotic call to seize the opportunity for a better future, would ensure a flood of new recruits. History suggests otherwise. The SLA, which broke away from the Lebanese army during the civil war in the 1970s, paid high wages, yet often struggled to find fighters. It forcibly conscripted thousands of young men and sometimes used child soldiers. It was a brutal militia, notorious for torturing thousands of people at a detention centre in Khayyam, but not a terribly effective one. It could not fend off Hezbollah without constant Israeli support. A revived SLA would fare little better. Few Lebanese would be willing to join a force that would be seen as an Israeli proxy. The regular army, for all its faults, is seen as one of the few bodies that transcends Lebanon's endemic sectarianism. A new SLA would be mired in it, alarming Hezbollah's Shia constituency, which would probably see the force as a threat. That would be true even if, as Mr. Lapid suggests, the new militia was placed under the authority of the Lebanese government. All this is in any case impossible right now. Lebanon has no president to oversee it. The post has been vacant since Michel Aoun ended his term in October 2022. The consensus choice for his successor is General Joseph Aoun, the army chief. The two are unrelated. But Hezbollah is keen to hand the job to Suleiman Frangieh, the head of a small political party whose main qualification is his fondness for the Assad regime in Syria. Parliament, which selects the president, is deadlocked. After a dozen failed votes, it gave up trying. The last ballot was in June 2023. Amos Hochstein, America's special envoy to Lebanon, says his top priority is filling the vacancy. Some lawmakers in Washington are now pushing for sanctions on Nabi Berri, the Speaker of Parliament, if he fails to call for another ballot and break the impasse. We hope that Hezbollah is degraded enough that they are less of a force in Lebanese politics, says Matthew Miller, a State Department spokesman. For Lebanese, this is another echo of the 1980s. Back then, Bashir Gemayel, the head of Lebanon's largest Christian militia, cemented his power through an alliance with America and Israel. He was elected president of Lebanon in August 1982, with the help of Philip Habib, who was Ronald Reagan's envoy to the region. Less than a month later, Gemayel was dead, assassinated by a member of a party aligned with Syria. In Lebanon, it does not serve anyone's interests to be seen as the American-Israeli candidate. The more the two allies push for General Aoun, the less likely he is to become an effective president. Joe Biden is old enough to remember all this. In 1982, he was already a second-term senator. He might also remember that Mr. Reagan, despite his sympathy for Israel, withheld delivery of F-16 fighter jets in protest over how Israel waged war in Lebanon. A decade later, George Bush Sr. temporarily blocked $10 billion in loan guarantees over the construction of illegal settlements in the occupied West Bank. Aside from holding up one shipment of 2,000-pound bombs, Mr. Biden has so far avoided such confrontations with Israel. On October 14th, though, his administration told Israel to increase the flow of aid to northern Gaza within 30 days, or risk losing American military aid. That would be an effective idea to resurrect from the 1980s. America has leverage over Israel if it chooses to use it. Critics doubt the president will follow through, however. He has spent a year making demands of Israel, only to see them ignored. After warning Israel for months against a big escalation in Lebanon, his advisers now support it. They seem to agree with Israeli officials that the invasion offers a chance to transform the region. Indeed, talk to Middle East hands in Washington over the past month, and they often sound euphoric. Jared Kushner, Donald Trump's son-in-law and former advisor, captured the excitement with a tortured metaphor. "The Middle East is too often a solid where little changes," he mused on X last month. "Today it is a liquid, and the ability to reshape is unlimited." It is not just Lebanon they hope to reshape. Perhaps regime change is back on the menu. There are discussions about whether Israel should try to topple the Assad regime, or if airstrikes in Iran could collapse the Islamic Republic. "It's like 2003 all over again," grumbles one American diplomat in the region, referring to the heady mood around the invasion of Iraq, which ended badly for its architects. This is a moment of change for the Middle East, but there are no easy solutions for problems that have evolved over decades. Even if General Aoun becomes president, he cannot push Hezbollah out of political life. Lebanon's sectarian system ensures it will have a role. As for the Lebanese army, it is weak because everyone wanted it to be. Its Western partners would not give it sophisticated weapons, while Hezbollah and its allies refused to let it exercise sovereignty. A new parallel force will not change this. It will simply give Hezbollah a new target, and perhaps give Israeli architects reason to build a new memorial.